Hello and welcome to our weekly podcast from Faith Point Church, Auckland, New Zealand. We hope you will encounter God afresh in this week's teaching segment. If you enjoy this podcast and would like to hear more, then you can visit us at www.faithpoint.org.nz. And now for today's message.
And the title of my sharing is called From Slaves to Sons. So it's actually on the screen already. So yeah, I just want to share a little bit about that, about this topic in the next 20 minutes or so, because from my own journey with the Lord and also my experience of journeying with Christians, both young and mature, sometimes we actually found that people are still very unsure of their lives. And because of that, it may affect them making decisions, big ones or small ones. And I have to, you know, I think for that, for myself, is that it's okay. It's okay to feel unsure here and there. But sometimes we don't want to keep on doing that. You know, we want to think a little bit more deeper than just what we do or what they do. And today, I think I want to address this issue of what we do. But before we address what we do, we have to address, or we need to address, who we are, because by knowing who we are will power up what we do. So sometimes things like that can actually happen very, very subconsciously. So we want to address these issues with Romans chapter 8 this morning. Is it okay? Yeah, so Romans chapter 8 teaches us that faith in Christ sets us free from the power of sin and death. And so the question is, where does the power of sin and death do its work? I have to say that it does its work through or in our old sinful nature. Our old sinful nature can manifest the power of sin and death through our desires, our drives, or needs, or actions. Now, in saying that, desires and actions are not evil or sinful by themselves, because they are just desires and actions. As long as they align with God's plan to, you know, to develop our lives and our faith and to help other people, then these desires and actions are all good. However, if these desires and drives or actions cause harm to ourselves or other people, then they become sinful. Do we have any examples? I would say over talking, or over introverting, overeating, or over self-starving, over functioning or under functioning, over indulging or over stingy, overcompensating or over withholding. So these overdoings can be the manifestations of the power of sin and death under the umbrella of our sinful nature. So Romans chapter 8, in verse 5, I'm just going to go there, see if I can click this. Yeah. So Romans 8 in verse 5 and 6, it says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. In verse 6, the mind governed by the flesh is death. So like I said before, these overdoings can be the manifestations of the power of sin and death under the umbrella of our old sinful nature. So without changing our heart and mind, without inviting the Holy Spirit to lead us for a breakthrough, without repentance, you know, we will always be slaves to our old sinful nature, where the power of sin and death plays with you. And we don't want that. We don't want that. And, I remember someone actually said to me once, he said, oh, well, Stan, this is my body. Okay, this is my life, and I can do whatever I want. I can do whatever I want with it. Oh, well, it sounds right, but if I can line up what you said with Romans chapter 8, it actually says that for those who are in the realm of the flesh, or for those who are operating in the flesh, cannot please God. So we have to ask ourselves, at the end of the day, do we want to do what we want to do with our body, with our will and choice and decisions, or do we want to please God? This is a big question that you and I must answer for ourselves. Yeah. And Paul said that those who are controlled by the flesh cannot please God, but those who are live according to the Holy Spirit have set their minds or their hearts on the Holy Spirit's desires. Therefore, it will produce life and peace in you. And I believe that, you know, all of us would like to do that, you know, would like to have that life and peace operating in us instead of feeling like we always have to overfunction, we always have to overdo stuff that causes stress and worries and fears in us. And remember, Satan makes slaves, but God makes sons. So the work of the Holy Spirit is there to change you from being a slave to Satan or to sin, to being a son of our God, our Father. Amen. So instead of talking about what we should do, I think we need to touch on who we are first, because like I said before, who we are powers up what we do. Since Paul actually goes on to say that we are sons and we're not slaves. By the way, the word sons is a non-gender word. I know it's really awkward for a lady to be called a son of the living God, but by the way, we can call it a daughter. I mean, obviously daughters, you know, so we are sons and daughters of the living God, but the Bible usually just call it a son according to the ancient Jewish culture. But it's awkward as men to be called a bride of Christ, you know. So this is a non-gender word. This is just for the Bible to explain the function or the inheritance that we will receive. So it only describes the functions and the results, not the gender. So let's read Chapter 8 in verse 14 and 16 from the book of Romans. So from the book of Romans, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about adoption to sonship, and by him we cry out, Abba, Father. So yes, that's the work. So the work of the Holy Spirit is to transform us from being a slave to sin to being a son to our Father. Now, the Holy Spirit, the job of the Holy Spirit is to help us to know God intimately and personally. And personally, one thing is to read the Bible, but another thing is to translate the Bible into a personal level where we know that we belong to the Lord and we belong to Jesus Christ. This is very important because that's going to define whether you know who you are. You know, you're not slaves, but sons and daughters of the living God. So I want to touch on a few differences between a son and a slave. So as we do that, right, let's think of slaves as the Hebrews in Egypt in the book of Exodus. And also let's think of sons and daughters in the ancient Hebraic culture, you know, under Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So I want to do some comparisons and giving up some differences. So slaves versus sons and daughters. First of all, I have to say that a slave has a taskmaster, while a son or a daughter has a loving father. So the loving father back in the ancient Hebraic culture is that the father is always the source that provides all resources. So that's how they see their Hebraic fathers, and how do we translate to our today's context? You know, for me, I always see our jobs or our income or people's blessing as the resources. They are never the source, because God the Father is my source. And God can use different means and different people or different ways to bless us financially or emotionally or relationally. But ultimately, God is the source, and all the other means are only resources. Do you know why we have to say we have to see that as such? It's because sometimes when we look at the income as the source, then we can actually fall into idolatry, or we couldn't let go, or we couldn't change. And that's not a good place to be. We always have to look at God the Father as our source, and anyone else and anything else are only resources. Yeah? Hey, that's pretty good. I preach good, James. Second is that slaves have transactional relationship with their taskmaster, while the sons or the daughters have a deep bonding with their father. So the difference is that a slave is only transactional, is only there to do a job. But for sons and daughters, we have bonding, we have relationships, we have close, deep connections. So next, a slave doesn't like to be his taskmaster one day, but a son or a daughter wants to be like his father or her father one day. Slaves have limited rights and privileges, while sons and daughters have full access to all the resources and blessings from their father. One thing that I want to address, the word children and sons and daughters, is that sometimes we like to call ourselves as children of God. I mean, of course, it's right. It's from the Bible. Paul said that here as well. But sometimes I would like to call ourselves as sons and daughters. You know why? Or you know what's the difference? The difference is that children are not identifiable. That means, imagine if you are amongst a group of 5-year-old kids or 3-year-old kids, they all look the same. You know what I mean? And you can't actually tell the distinctive or unique personalities and looks until they grow up a little bit. Yeah. So sons and daughters mean they grew up, you know, they became mature now. What's the one thing that sons and daughters can get, but children can't get? I would say resources and inheritance. You know, if you are full grown, mature sons and daughters, then the father can actually give you the resources. The father can give you the inheritance when the time comes. But children, you are still getting looked after. You know, you don't get that yet. I mean, you get fed, you know, you get to play, but you don't get to have the responsibilities. Therefore, you don't get to have the resources. Yeah. Next, slaves are obliged or obligated to their master, while sons and daughters have their ownership of their father's businesses or territories or the father's work. Sons and daughters are treated as equal to the father by the community, but slaves are not equal to their superior. Slaves finish off work and go home. In other words, slaves would finish off paying off their debts and leave the master's house with nothing. But sons and daughters, with their father's resources, they build, they invest, they accumulate for themselves and for their children. And in fact, the word son in Hebrews is ben, meaning a builder to the father's house or to the father's business. So in these verses, you can tell that God is actually highlighting, or maybe Paul is highlighting the relationship that we need to have between our lives and God the Father. And the relationship we have is a son-father relationship. It's a daughter-father relationship. Amen? So we say that those who are led by the Spirit are considered sons and daughters of God. This means that we put our faith in Christ, we become part of God's family, we are no longer slaves to sin or fear. Therefore, we are able to have that freedom to live and to do what the Father wants. So we're not trapped, we're not limited, or we are not without freedom in Christ. Yeah, so let's just move on to the next one. So how do we being led by the Holy Spirit? We may see your relationship with God the Father by the relationship we might have experience with our own Father. Now, this is a really hard topic because, like, we know that God is good and we know our Father is good, but sometimes what we experience with our parents or with people who are in authority, those experiences might have colored the way we see our loving Father, and whether our fathers, the relationship with our Father has been good or not good, or loving or distant. We have to realize that our fathers are only human fathers. I can speak as a father myself. All fathers are fallible human beings, but God is not. But God is not. So we need to have the ability to distinguish the two, that despite whether I've experienced good experiences with my Father or not, my God is good. God the Father, our Heavenly Father, is always good. He's always for me, even though I don't experience it or maybe I don't feel it, but it doesn't take away. The truth is that God is good for me. God is good for you. God is good for us. He has His best intention in Him for us. So He is for us. He is for us. So that's why I believe that God really wants to restore in us, or to add to us, the revelation that we are His sons and daughters. That's very important. Very, very important. Why does He want to do that? It's because I believe He wants to restore what He once lost with Adam and Eve. And just like once He had, the relationship, the father-son, the father-daughter relationship with Adam and Eve, the Spirit of God wants to restore the same thing in us. So if you go back to the beginning, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you think about God, right? God is a spirit, or God is a spirit being. And Adam and Eve were physical persons, physical beings. And God wanted to have a relationship with them, and God wanted to walk with them, and God wanted to resource them, and God wanted Adam and Eve to represent Him, to reveal who God is, through this father and son relationship. Imagine when God wants to reveal Himself, He didn't choose to use angels or an army or some scholars. He actually chose to reveal Himself through father-son relationships or father-daughter's relationships. So the relationship that we have with God the Father is so important, because eventually God can actually use the relationship that we have with God the Father to show people who He is, His values, His kingdom, His heart, and what He wants to do on the earth. Just like how God said to Adam, be fruitful and multiply. You're my son. You're my daughter. And now outwork what I wanted you to do with the resources and the blessing and the power that I have given you. Man, this is powerful, This is powerful. Oh, I'm getting excited myself. So I've got, so the last part here is that I've got five little steps to get us, action steps to get us, or to turn us from a slave to a son. So number one, let me just go there. Are we enjoying this? That's cool. So number one, have faith in Christ. Now, this applies to both non-believers and believers. If you watch us on the video right now on YouTube, I want to encourage you, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to have faith in Jesus. You need to have faith in Christ. And from Romans chapter 8 in verse 2, it says, through Christ, the law of the Spirit gives us life, which sets us free from the law of sin and death. So Christ's sacrifice sets us free from the law of sin and death, or from our sinful nature, so that it will not have a grip on us. So we need to trust the Lord and to follow Jesus. Christ completed his mission on the cross. What about you? You know, to have faith in Christ means to follow his examples, means to follow his life pattern. So his life pattern is full of purpose, you know, full of the Holy Spirit. What about you? So we need to look at ourselves. Have faith in Christ also it also means to follow his patterns. Number two, set your mind on the Holy Spirit. So in verse 5 and 6, it says, the mind that's governed by the Spirit is life and peace. In other words, we need to engage with the Holy Spirit. We need to engage with people with a focused and an intentional mindset to pursue goals and to invite God's presence. And to get intimate with the Lord and to spend time with the Lord as we set our mind on the Holy Spirit, I believe that you actually gives the Holy Spirit access to your mind. You know, sometimes when we're worried and we feel stressful, when we feel negative in our mind, it's because we open up to the negative means. But imagine if we open up our minds to the means of the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit can have access to give us what we need. So sometimes early in the morning, I would say, Lord, I'll just commit my mind to you. I have a sound mind of Christ. Holy Spirit, I invite you into our thoughts. I invite you into our thinking and our decisions. Holy Spirit, I ask you to help my mind in the name of Jesus. You know what? When I say little prayers or simple prayers like that, it stables my mind. And I believe that if you do that, it's going to stable your mind. Amen. Step three, put to death the misdeeds of the body. Put to death the misdeeds of the body. In verse 13, it says, if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Right, I would say not that you will die physically or drop dead, but it's more like you will begin to deteriorate emotionally, relationally, or spiritually. But if you live by the Holy Spirit, then you will live. Right, you'll live. In other words, embrace the pain of God's transformational process. Means like you and I. If we are called sons and daughters, that means God will actually put us into a training. God will actually put us into a process. And the process is always painful, because if it's pleasant, then it's not a training. It's not a process, all right? So if you want to grow, pain or emotional pain, pain about what we used to believe that we're wrong, that drives us crazy and we don't know, all these things, God will actually dig it out. The Lord will dig it all out and to present it in front of you and say, why are you thinking like this? Why are you doing this? Well, when we are confronted with process like that, right, we have to face it. It's painful to acknowledge that we've done wrong. It's painful to see that the thinking, the decisions, the values that we carry were bad and old, it's hurting us. But it's good to acknowledge that, because like if you don't acknowledge it, then you can't change it. So trust in God's process. Put away the misdeeds of the body. Develop a strategy to resist your old sinful nature. Or set a goal to overcome something. Set a goal to overcome something small this week. Set a goal to overcome something big this year, or maybe not this year, this quarter. In the next month, you know, set a goal. Tell God that, God, I want to overcome something. I don't want to just live my life, live another week or another month or another year. You're not being fruitful. You won't be mature. You won't be maturing. You know, you want to tell God courageous goals like that. Lord, use me to overcome something now. Amen. So yeah, step four, allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. In verse 14, it says, for those who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God or sons and daughters of God. Let the Holy Spirit guide you in all aspects of life. Respond to his promptings, whether big or small, Because like sometimes when we are being led by the Holy Spirit, we think we have to do something really big or very massive. But no, no, no. What if when the Holy Spirit just leads you to do something small, it's not about whether the job is small or big. It's about you being faithful, being obedient to walk in the sonship with the Holy Spirit. Amen. The last step is this: embrace your identity as a son or a daughter of the living God. You know, the Holy Spirit will help you to witness in your spirit that you are God's son or daughter, by which you cry out, Abba, Father. I would say cultivate your own intimacy with the Father. You know, spend a time with him. Listening to a sermon is good. Coming to church is good. You know, to fellowship with other people is good. But all these things can't replace the fact that you need to spend time alone with the Father. Whether you can go out for a walk, or you have your own prayer closet time, or when you are driving, you put on some music, talk to God earnestly and vulnerably. Talk to him, not just like, Lord, please bless me for the day, bless my job, please, I want a new car. I mean, of course, God knows all these things. But when was the last time that you are being so intimate with the Lord and say, Lord, you know, this thing is not good. I want to change. Lord, use me for your glory. Lord, if there's anything that is offensive in me, can you deal with me? Can you deal with me, Lord? And I know that you'll be gentle with me, but I don't want to stay the same. I need some changes. And just allow him to love you. Allow the Lord to fill his love, fill your heart with his love. He will do it. If you ask him, he will do it. He's not going to withhold that from you. Yeah. So question time before we get into our breakout is that, is there a specific area of sonship or daughtership that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about? Is there an area that you feel the urge to grow into or to grow in? Because like as you hear the word, I trust that the Holy Spirit will speak to you. I trust that he will say, hey, look, you know what? This area is good, son. This area is good, daughter. But I want you to look into this area, because my grace is available. My grace is ready to work on that area now. Would you open that up for me? Would you open it up for me to work on? Yeah? So do you need to deepen your prayer life maybe, or your intimate relationship or intimate time or intimacy with the Father? Do you just need to spend some more time with him? Or perhaps you need to dedicate a season of time to focus on healing and deliverance. Or there are some issues in your heart that you need to unlock that you never told anyone, but you know that those things have been driving you crazy. And that's the issues of the heart. That's not other people. Stop blaming other people. It's not other people. It's about the issues of the heart that you've been harboring. And now you need to open it up and allow the Holy Spirit to unlock it, to remove it, to restore you. Right? You need that. You need that. Don't escape. Don't shy away from that. What about this? Maybe you just need to seek the Lord for the purpose of God over your life, you know, for your life, the plans that the Lord has for you. Maybe you just need to discover that. So what are those things? I'm just going to leave it to you guys. So yeah, so I hope you enjoyed this message, and I hope you get something out of it. Go back and read Romans 8 yourself. It's a wonderful chapter, and I'm sure that the Holy Spirit will open up a lot more than this message for you, because you are his sons, you are his daughters, he loves you, he's there for you, he's for you, he will bless you.